It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're live here, September 24th, 9:06. And we've only got an hour, folks. So if you have calls, if you have questions, give us a ring here in the studio on this wonderful Sunday morning. The number here, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. A curious thing happened on September 7th, 2017. We're talking today about interest rates. They have been headed lower and lower for months, or had been headed lower and lower for months. July of this summer, 2.4%, then pressed furiously lower all the way down until around September 7th, bottoming at 2.0%. And then they've been higher ever since. They've been headed higher ever since September 7th. So what has been happening with this interest rate move? What happened on September 7th? Here we are towards the end of the month, and they've been trekking higher ever since. I'm going to get the answer to that in just a minute. We're going to do that. So stay tuned. We also want to talk about what has been kind of an eye-opening prediction this week from one only Warren Buffett about the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Where does Buffett think the Dow Jones will be in the year 2117? I just let that kind of slide under. 2117, what's that? Oh, it's 100 years from now. It's 2017. Where are we going to be in 2117? So before we get back to what interest rates are doing, so you are hanging on to the edge of your Money Matters seats, we're going to talk about the Dow for just a minute. Warren Buffett says, okay, I think we're going to Dow, what number? 1 million. We're going to Dow 1 million. Now, does it sound like he's just gotten to be a crazy old man when you hear that number? It seems crazy. And as soon as I read this, I thought, wait, maybe he meant 100,000. Wait a minute. We're at 22,000 today. We're going to get to 1 million? Well, let's talk about the numbers for a second. So first of all, this is the year 2117, 100 years from now. We're right around that 22,000 mark today. Where's he getting this number? He's getting it from the eighth wonder of the world. Just compound interest. Everyone gives Einstein credit for it, but it's just math. He didn't invent it. Einstein didn't invent compound interest. It's just math. But he talked about compound interest being the eighth wonder of the world. And here it is in great display. So how do we get from 22,000 to a million over the course of 100 years? All it takes, what's the number? Annual compound interest of what? Less than 4%. That's it. 3.87%. That's it. 3.87%. 22K turns into a million in 100 years. And that's all we're talking about. So actually, Warren Buffett might be a little bearish on the stock market, because the past 100 years, the Dow Jones has averaged 5.5%. Remember, we talk a lot about the odometer level versus the total return that includes dividends. And I'm not talking about including dividends here. We're just talking about the odometer reading. So just the rise in price. Back in 1916, so about 100 years ago, the Dow was at 95. We all know where it is today. By the end of 2016, it had reached about 20,000. That math is 5.5%. During that period of time, though, and let's just get a reality check about inflation. Inflation was about 3.1% year over year average inflation rate. So the real return, if you discount inflation out of that 5.5%, for the Dow was 2.3%. Not an enormous amount, but just segmenting what numbers, what we really mean by that. And because inflation takes away our buying power or erodes the value of a dollar, what does it take now to buy what $100 bought back then? So I had $100 in 1916. I could buy, what could I, for $100, what would it take to buy the same amount of goods today? Well, because inflation has been 3.1%, we would need $2,116 in order to buy today what $100 bought in 1916. So that's just a quick side commentary about Dow 1 million. You might see that. It's not a crazy number. It's only about 4% per year. We've averaged 5.5% a year over the last 100 years, and there's no reason that we won't do the same. Now, let's go back to my commentary about interest rates. A less exciting topic, but probably just as important, maybe even more important than the level of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So a curious thing happened back on September 7th. Interest rates that had been headed lower and lower and lower all summer finally started to tick higher. And they've been doing so ever since over the last several weeks. What happened on September 7th? That was the day Trump made a deal. That's the day Trump made a deal with the Democrats in Congress. Got everybody up in arms to extend the debt ceiling. That was the debt ceiling deal that blew everybody out of the water. Wait a minute. He's dealing with the Democrats all of a sudden. And what did that deal do? Well, it effectively extended the debt ceiling, so it avoided a government shutdown, and it also gave hurricane relief. Remember, $15+ billion to Hurricane Harvey victims. And that all happened in this, let's call it, reach across the aisle. So out of the ordinary for a Republican to side with the Democrats. And Trump is doing, though, by the way, exactly what voters expected him to do. The folks that voted for Trump expected him to be unexpected. He's not a politician. He's a business guy. He's a deal maker. Unpredictable. He's a negotiator. Now, I'm not getting political here. This is not what we do on Money Matters at all. But Washington has been driving Wall Street ever since the election. And in the past couple of weeks, though, these are perfect examples. The last 2 weeks, to be exact, perfect example of Washington driving Wall Street. And remember, Wall Street's not just stocks. It's stocks and bonds. So what is this big move higher in interest rates? What's it foreshadowing? All right, since the deal with the Democrats, 10-year Treasury yield, again, that's the proxy for lending really in the world. Yes, in the United States, but really around the world. And the bond market, everything relates back to what investors pay or get paid for owning 10-year Treasury bonds. That's the proxy for interest rates around the world, particularly here in the United States. So back on September 7th, the 10-year Treasury yield hit 2%. That's it. Now we're basically back to 2.3%. Now that might not sound like a lot, 2% to 2.3, but that's a big move. That's a 15% rise in interest rates. Everybody notices when the stock market moves 15%. Oh my God, the stock market was up 3% this week. Stock market was down 10%. Ouch. Nobody ever notices when the bond market moves that much. And that's exactly what has just been happening the last couple of weeks. The 10-year Treasury yield is up 15%. Nobody ever says to you, hey, do you know what the bond market moved 15% since midsummer? Or since September 7th? So there has been a stock market reaction, though, to this as well. And despite living through the most range-bound, placid week for stocks. That's the only word I could really describe this past week, by the way. The stock market this week was the tightest, flattest range that we have seen in any given week since 1972. It's the most flat line we've seen it in over 40 years. But the Trump-related sectors or Trump-related stock sectors have interesting moved a lot since that deal back in September, early September. Financials, by the way, since the deal with the Democrats, financial companies as a group up 5%, 5.2 to be exact. Industrials up 4.3% to be exact. Energy up 4% during that same period of time. We're only going back a couple of weeks. Well, what's the market done? Market hasn't done a whole lot since then. The S&P 500 is up 1.5%, but financials up over 5%, industrials up almost 4.5%, energy up over 4%. During that, just this short period of time, September 7th, when Trump made that deal. So very interesting that the Trump trade that was so prominent after the election, even in the beginning of the year, has come back to some extent. Those are the Trump favored sectors. Those are the Trump, that's the Trump trade right there. Financials, industrials, a proxy for the economy getting better. Energy, a Trump sector, all showing signs of life again. Now, the polling on this is interesting. Again, we're not talking politics here. We're talking about the economy as it relates to politics and what's happening in Washington. Very recent Wall Street Journal poll, Wall Street Journal NBC poll, that tells us how Americans really are feeling right now. What are they thinking right now? Well, here are the numbers. All right. I don't need phone calls here yelling and screaming about what I'm about to say. I'm not being political. I'm just telling you what the numbers are. How do people in America feel about Trump on the economy? Well, 41% approve, so that's a decent number. 39% disapprove. Trump on North Korea, 36% of Americans approve, 43% disapprove. Trump, how about his usage of Twitter? 23% approve. Not a lot of folks. 2 out of 10. I get that one. 66% disapprove. This is, again, Trump using Twitter. Trump on healthcare, 27% approve, 53% disapprove. Trump working with the Democrats to raise the debt ceiling and give hurricane relief? 71% of Americans approve of that. Only 8% of people disapprove. I know exactly what you're thinking, so I was thinking the same thing. I immediately thought, wait a minute, this must be some sort of poll that's just out in left field. It's only extreme liberals that even took this poll, right? So I looked through the data, actually went back to the actual, I went through the articles, and you know how you can actually click on the data and you get to the actual document that nobody ever reads to see, wait a minute, this has got to be some sort of super biased poll done by Democrats. And the answers are probably biased, right? Because you've got lower Trump approval numbers for all these different categories, almost everything. And then all of a sudden, hey, working with Democrats, 71% of people approve of that. But if you look at the data, the survey was actually really balanced, very balanced between Republicans and Democrats. Actually very balanced, and in fact, even leaned more towards conservatives than it was liberals. And that was the actual data. So from where I sit, this is a poll that's actually telling us something. It's telling us that American voters, who we know care, priority number one, the economy. They want to see something get done. That's what this is about. They want to see Congress doing something. Americans are approving of any sort of progress when it comes to congressional dealings. And that has the Trump trade perking back up. Good morning. You are listening to Money Matters. The phone number here, phone lines open. Happy to take a call, question, and walk you through and at least give you some direction on your own financial questions. If you're at a fork in the road, we're happy to give you our opinion so you can go find the right answer. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. More Money Matters straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. Wes Moss, your host, every Sunday morning. Today, 9 to 10, we have Bulldog Brunch following us here today. So you get your calls in, 404-872-0750 here on beautiful Sunday morning. We're going to start with Greg, who joins us on the line. Greg, good morning. Well, welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? How can I help?
Hi, good morning, Wes. Thanks for taking my call. I have a traditional 401k I've had for about 25 years. I'm looking at the options of a consideration for index funds to put that money into more of a secure platform, and wanted to know if that's a wise move to move into the direction of index funds.
Got it. So a couple of qualifiers. Your 401k now, or is that getting obviously rolled into some sort of retirement account, an IRA, and now you have other choices?
It's just a 401 that I've had for 25 years that I'm considering what are my next steps. I'm about 10 years away from retirement and just concerned with the market vulnerability, and am I better at putting a good portion of money in a more secure fund so I avoid the chance of market fluctuations and getting to a chance of losing them.
Now you're asking about you're asking about should you do an index fund for stability. Now typically when I think index fund, I think stock market index fund. Are you talking about an index fund or maybe an index annuity?
Index annuity.
Okay, so massive difference, Greg, between those two items. So it's funny, one small change in the vernacular and you're at polar ends of the spectrum. Index fund versus index annuity, just night and day.
Okay.
Totally separate considerations. So hang on. This is important. We've got to go quick news, weather, traffic. If you can get you to hold on for a minute or two, then we're going to come back and I'll answer your question. You're listening to Money Matters right here, WSB.
WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. Wes Moss, your host every Sunday morning. Today, 9 to 10, that's it. That's all we have. That's not a lot of time. So we're going to go right to the phones. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I want to go right back to an important call with Greg. Greg, are you still with us? I don't know if Greg is still there. Are you there, my friend?
Yes, I'm here.
So, okay, good. So, because this is a really important distinction between the two items that you were referencing. You said, hey, I'm thinking about doing an index fund inside my retirement account. But then as we talked a little bit further, it sounds like an index annuity. So I'm suspecting, first of all, that your 401k is now rolled into, or you have it in some sort of IRA, and now you can kind of buy or invest however you would like. Is that accurate?
Well, it's still a traditional 401k, the way I understand it, with investments in small caps and large caps, and both domestic and international. It's been, you know, a number of American funds, some other funds are included in that. That's the way I understand it. And I've just been keeping it in that fund over the years just to invest. And now I'm wanting to say, if the market shifts and we have a dramatic change in market, what is the most least avoidance I can put it into to ensure that those funds remain intact, or at least a good portion of those funds?
Got it. So you're really looking for safety. Now, you Correct. Have referenced, though, an index annuity. And so is this an index annuity where you have kind of a floor where it's supposed not to ever lose money, but you could get some sort of upside depending on the market? Is that the kind of index annuity we're talking about?
That is correct. Zero risk on loss, and the up potential is I guess capped with about a 5.15% possibility of increase over a 7-year contract period. But the risk is minimal because your investment would stay intact primarily.
So you have to. So you really do commit to this, like a normal. It sounds like a normal index annuity where you put money in, and the catch to some extent is that you really have to leave it there for at least 7 years. If you don't, you get a big penalty. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Got it. Okay. So this is an index annuity, not an index. This is not an index mutual fund, and they couldn't be any more different.
Absolutely.
So an index annuity, in my opinion, these are actually pretty complicated. They're complicated insurance products. Now, technically, anything you put money into is an investment, but it's technically an insurance product, not an investment. But you're putting your own money into it, so let's call it an investment. It's really an insurance contract or an insurance product, and the way I look at these things is that they're issued by these big insurance companies, and they're really rigged against you. You know, a fixed annuity has this really a floating rate of return. They can say you're not going to lose money in it, or your downside is zero, But again, there's a little bit of a smoke and mirror going on there, because the catch is you have to leave it in there at least for 7 years, or else you get a penalty, and you do in fact lose money if you don't follow their rules. So that to me is the first thing about these. It's a little bit misleading, or maybe a lot misleading. The second part here, Greg, is that they propagate that you could get, you know, zero downside, but oh well, around 5%. Well, that's so in your head you think, well, I'll take that bet, right? Give me about, I can probably get 5, but I have no chance of losing. What's really misleading there, and that it's tied to the market, and you get a portion of what the market does. The S&P 500 goes up 15%. Well, you get a portion of that, around 5. That to me is really misleading, because from what I've seen over many years, 20 years looking at these index annuities that are tied to the S&P, they're tied to the NASDAQ, they, from what I've seen, never do more than around 1.5 to 2% a year. That's what happens in real life. There's the potential, what it could do on paper if everything went perfectly and their formulas lined up, but they're not tied, or they're not pulling in your market gain and how the market actually gains. Meaning that an index annuity will say, well, if the market goes up 10% a year, you could get 5, provided that the market goes up an exact 0.5% per month, we'll let you capture that per month. So the formula is rigged against you from actually making that 5%. In theory, it could happen, but historically, it is set up mathematically to capture a market gain in a market environment that never exists.
I see.
So if the market just climbed steadily like a CD and it went up 0.5% clip every month, then those formulas would work, but that's not how the market works. The market goes up 10, down 10, up 3, down 7, and an index annuity doesn't really capture the gains in a roller coaster environment. And quite frankly, even though with the market, ironically, we're just talking about how flat it was this past week, over the course of a month and a year, the market doesn't do it like that, doesn't work that way. So it's a little misleading. The other issue I have with an index annuity is investors typically look at these things as, well, I can put $100,000 or $200,000 or $500,000 in this because it's really safe and this is my safe money. But if when you do that, the other problem is that you're putting money into what I would equate to kind of one bond. I mean, if I'm going to buy bonds, would I want to put, and I had $100,000, would I want to put it in just one bond? So meaning that the credit that you are assuming will back your investment is that one company. That's the difference with an index annuity, is that you when you're buying into that product, who's promising it? Where's the quote guarantee coming from? The guarantee is coming from a company. And in my opinion, if you're going to ever, as an investor, you've got to spread out your risk in case something happens to that one company. It's very different than putting that money into a treasury bond and knowing that what's the backing. Well, the backing is the U.S. government. That's as close to a real guarantee as we can get. Not when a big company says, oh, I guarantee you this thing will work out, because what happens if the company goes under, then you're in real problem. So what I would do, and I've sat here and I've kind of run down these index annuities in concept, because I think they're misleading investments. They handcuff you. I think of it very much like putting yourself in jail so you don't get exposed to the outside world, so you never get hurt. The reality here is that over a course of 7 or 10 years, like a lot of these annuities have surrender penalties on your principal amount over long periods of time, that almost any investment you ever do over that long a period of time, if you really are disciplined to sit there, and the penalty sometimes forces you to do that, almost any asset class over any period of time is going to at least go up by 1% or 2% per year. Even the terrible lost decade in stocks that started in the March of 2000, or I talked about this last week on Money Matters, started, let's say, in 1998 to 2008. Even though the Dow went from 9,000 to 9,000, that roller coaster ride effectively was ended up at the exact same point it started at, 9,000 in 98 to 9,000 in 2009, that you still made 2.5% a year because you had dividends every single year reinvested. So even the worst decade ever in stocks still made 2.5% a year. So it's interesting that these annuities are sold on the pretense that you're going to get all this quote market upside that never really happens. for not a lot of for the protection of zero. What I would rather see you do, Greg, is find an option within that 401k or an IRA, wherever these funds are going, that is just that. It actually is treasury bonds. It actually is something that is a diversified, high quality bond product. If you're really looking just for safety and maybe at 1-3% upside, that is getting invested in treasury bonds that have real safety and a real guarantee behind them in principle, as opposed to betting the farm on some sort of annuity. 404-872-0750. You're listening to Money Matters right here, WSB Radio. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. If you'd like to find me, the Money Matters team, easy to do so. Our team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. If you have questions throughout the week or want to contact me and the team with a scenario or a financial situation you're kind of going through and you're wondering really what you should be doing for the next 5 years and the next 10 years, and you want to get our objective advice on that or opinion, we're happy to do that. And we do that every single day. So you can find the contact button in the upper right-hand side at wesmoss.com. We're going to go to Stan, who joins us in Stockbridge. Stan, what's going on? How can I help?
I'm 59 years old. I'm going to retire in about 3 years. And I have the choice when my company offers a pension. And one of the choices they give you is take the lump sum or the annuity. And I was wondering to get your perspective on that, because the reviews are mixed from what I gather. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, got it. This is multivariable of a decision or financial situation that you can really find, I think, because they both have their merits, right? And I typically start, and again, what Will's asking about, or what Stan is asking about here, is do you take a monthly amount that starts in, let's call it, you said you're 59, Stan, right?
Yeah.
And in this would start at 59 or at 62?
62. When I retire, yeah.
So 62, a payment monthly for life, or a big chunk of money that would go into an IRA, yeah. You'd roll the lump sum in an IRA without, and then you wouldn't get a payment, but you'd have to create your own payment. Which one is more valuable?
Also includes my wife. She would also be the beneficiary if I passed earlier than her. So it goes on for, she's included.
Got it. So that's called a 100% joint survivor annuity payout, and that's the 15%, or that's the $1,500 a month, correct?
Right.
All right. So here's how I start this calculation. How do we decide between the payment, the lump sum, the big chunk of money versus, hey, let's spread this thing out as a guaranteed amount forever? Someone's backing up. Be careful. I don't know if you heard that in the background. So the $1,500 Stan times 12 is $18,000 a year, right? So it's $18,000 is what you'd be getting. And I divide that by the lump sum amount, which is how much?
It's about 230, 240.
Let's call it 200. Yeah, let's call it 235,000. So if you did 235,000, you would if you took that lump sum amount, 235,000, you would have to get, in order to generate $18,000 a month, or I'm sorry, $18,000 a year, or $1,500 a month, you would have to get a 7.65% rate of return every single year to do that, which is hard to get. That's to have a guarantee of 7.8% a year, that's a tough number to get. And the reason, and I do this math to find that benchmark. So I call it the 6% test. And I've written about this on ClarkHoward.com and get a lot of variations on this question. And in your particular case, and the great part about that number is that it's covering you and your wife. So if you took this as what's called a life annuity and it's just on you, that $1,500 a month would probably be $1,700 or $1,800 a month, which would be an 8% or 9% guaranteed rate of return relative to the lump sum. So if in really just looking at the math, provided you have other investments that are liquid, and this is just a piece of retirement, I think, at least from our brief conversation, Stan, the monthly amount, the $1,500 per month, is actually a very good deal. arguably a much better deal than taking the 230. And again, I'm just doing 18,000 a year divided by 235,000. That's 7.6%, almost 7.7% a year guaranteed, at least for the company. And if they go out of business, that's enough for the PBGC to cover if something were to happen to your employer. Thank you for the call, Stan. You are listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss here, WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters, WSB Radio. Wes Moss here every Sunday morning. Today, just 9 to 10. If you want to find us throughout the week, obviously, it's easy to do so. This has been at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Obviously, a lot to cover in a relatively compact show today, but I think a couple of important takeaways. Number one, the thought that we get to a Dow 1 million. Warren Buffett talked about it this week. It sounds like a crazy number, but just like any monstrous goal, if you break it down and understand how this could happen over time in parts or pieces, it's not as crazy as it might sound. All it would take from today to 2117, 100 years from now, would be just shy of a 4% rate of return compounded over time to go from where we are, right around Dow 22,000, all the way to Dow 1 million. Not 100,000, but Dow 1 million. It would take about a 4% rate of return per year. Also, talking about the Trump trade showing signs of life. Financials, energy, industrials, all peaking, headed slightly higher or dramatically higher relative to the rest of the market over the last several weeks as interest rates have come up. And that was back when Trump is starting to do a deal here and get something working in Congress. We'll call it September 6th or 7th, the day that Trump did a deal with the Dems. With that, again, find us at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Have a wonderful, blessed rest of the day. Stay tuned for Bulldog Brunch coming up right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Free.